She waits nervously on the steps. It's cold, and sitting down would mean the stone touching her naked ass under the too short skirt he had told her to wear. He's late. It's nearly 1 a.m. now. She doesn't know how much longer to wait for him. There isn't much traffic, but each car makes her jump in anticipation. She checks her email on her phone again, just in case she missed his message. She didn't. She shivers and rubs her bare arms. She should have worn a jacket, but she wanted to make a good impression. She's so excited finally to meet him. She decides she will wait another 5 minutes, and then she will go home. She tries to make the time pass quickly by playing a game, walking along the very edge of the bottom step, 1 foot close in front of the other, but she loses her balance and slips off halfway through. She hopes he hasn't seen her being so ungraceful. She looks around, hopefully, but he isn't there. She checks her phone again. She thinks that maybe the connection isn't working properly, or the app isn't downloading her email when it arrives. She sits abruptly on the step, the frigid stone making her gasp as the edge hits her freshly shaven cunt, and holds the button to restart her phone. She doesn't worry that he'll call her while her phone is off. They haven't exchanged phone numbers yet. But that also means that all she can do is wait for his email. Her phone rebooted. She opens it up. Still nothing. Maybe something came up, she thinks. That does happen sometimes. Maybe he really can't meet her now or email to let her know. Maybe he's just running late. She checks the time. Well, okay, maybe not 2 hours late. He's not coming. She realises that. Had realised it some time ago, in fact, but didn't want to admit to herself that she'd spent so much time preparing, had come to the other side of town dressed so provocatively in the middle of the night, without telling anyone, to meet a man she barely knew, had never met, because he told her to. And now, he had stood her up. She feels a flush of embarrassment that makes her cunt twitch and her heart heavy. She should have known better. She doesn't know why she's still waiting. She swears at herself under her breath, "You fucking idiot." A nearby clock tower strikes 3. She takes a deep breath, trying to sigh out her disappointment, and begins the long walk home. "Hello, little girl. I'm sorry I didn't come to meet you yesterday. Something came up that I couldn't get out of. I thought I'd sent you an email at the time, but I see now that it's still in my drafts folder. I guess that explains why you haven't replied, huh? I hope you didn't hang around too long. Your poor little pussy must have been frozen. You did follow my instructions, I assume." She reads his message 3 times. She tries not to consider too hard if his explanation seems reasonable. The hook at the end of his email is too enticing. She wants his approval. She decides she will believe him, but that she will not tell him how long she waited. She doesn't want him to think her too pathetic. While she considers how to reply, how to strike the right balance of flirty, petulant, but ultimately obedient, another email arrives. "You could send me a picture of what I missed out on last night. The whole outfit with your sexy little pussy on display." The electric jolt in her cunt sees her out of her chair and pulling the little skirt and vest top out of the laundry hamper before she can think. She deliberately doesn't think. She tries to smooth out the skirt before deciding just to flip up the front of it anyway. She poses in front of her mirror, sitting forwards on the chair, legs spread wide. Looking at her reflection, she slumps a little. She wishes they had met last night. She always looks better in person than in pictures. She adds a flick of mascara and twists her hair into 2 buns behind her ears. It will have to do. She doesn't want to keep him waiting too long. He might get bored. She takes several pictures and settles on the one she feels least unhappy with. She sends it attached to her reply. Her tone is light and breezy. Of course she understands these things happen. The important thing is that he enjoys her body however he feels like it, whether in person or in pictures. She scrolls through porn GIFs while she waits for his response, imagining herself in each one she likes. She would imagine him too if she had a better sense of what he looks like. The one picture he has sent her is old, he says, and a little out of focus. Still, his attitude is more important, really. The confident, demanding, and occasionally a little bit mean tone in his messages. He makes her feel small and desperate to be taken over. No reply yet. She pouts a little and refreshes her browser. Going back to the GIFs, she sees that she has a few new messages. Men message her a lot on this site. Most are entirely inappropriate for a first message, many with poor spelling and grammar. She tries not to judge that, but usually fails. She refreshes her email again. Still nothing. She works her way through the messages, almost methodically. This one is too young, this one is full of spelling mistakes, this one just reads, hi. This one calls her slut and demands that she send naked pictures immediately and address him as master. This one is from a submissive man wondering in detail if she might consider locking up his cock and pissing in his face. The last message but one, finally, is different. Hello, doll. I enjoyed your profile very much. You have a flair for language. She squirms in pleasure at the compliment. She does like to feel that she has a way with words. Your pictures also present an enticing series of possibilities, suggesting things that one, I would not yet presume to say I, could do with you. His slightly pompous tone impresses her. She can feel moisture on her thighs. She wiggles a little, then, remembering why her cunt is bare, feels a flash of guilt and switches window to her email. She's almost relieved when he still hasn't replied. She clicks back to the unknown man's message. Tell me, what would you say is your most illicit fantasy? The one that makes you uncomfortable to think of? That you deliberately put out of your mind as soon as you've finished enjoying it? She knows immediately. She also knows that she shouldn't reply, or if she does, that she should say something other than the truth. She frowns at the screen. She knows that such a short message is really too little on which to base any judgment of this man. She finds that she wants to tell him, though. She writes long, detailed paragraphs, taking care with her vocabulary. She wants to impress him, to show that he was right to compliment her linguistic skills. It takes her some time to complete her reply. She clicks send and feels a flush of excitement. His response is immediate. Send me your phone number. We should talk. She gasps and then feels foolish for such a dramatic reaction. Even as she debates with herself how sensible it is, she knows that she will comply. His voice, when he calls soon after, is quiet, almost a whisper. He purrs at her down the phone, and her cunt contracts in response. So, you want to be a slave, To give yourself over completely to another? Do you know what that means, little girl? Do you really know? She tells him that she isn't sure. She thinks she does, particularly when she's feeling like this. Feeling like what? She squirms and whines a little into the phone, feeling all hot and wet and needy. He doesn't wait for her to reply, although, of course, the answer is yes. Why don't you slide your fingers inside your slippery little cunt while we talk then, Just gently in and out, grazing over your sensitive nerve endings. She mews quietly, and he chuckles in reply. Tell me how it feels, little girl, to have your fingers deep inside your cunt, listening to a man you don't know, being directed by him. Is this what you want? To be so easily controlled? She can't focus to reply. His questions are too confusing for her, but his tone is just the right combination of stern and paternal. She feels the orgasm building swiftly to its climax. She murmurs nothing coherent. He pauses for a moment. She doesn't notice, caught up as she is on the edge of her orgasm. I'm afraid I have to go, little girl. My wife has some friends coming over for the evening and they've arrived a little early. I have to go and play the gallant host. I'll call again later if I can, if not, tomorrow. Keep that cunt nice and wet for me, you understand? I want to hear all about how needy you are for me the next time we speak. By the time she is able to form words, he's gone. Her fingers stop moving as she tries to process what he said. He had to go. He will call again later or tomorrow. He has a wife. As she registers this last, her heart sinks. Of course he has a wife, she thinks. There had to be something. She allows herself to imagine for a moment that she doesn't care, but she knows that she does. She removes her fingers and wipes them on the chair seat. She sighs deeply. She should stop this for a while, she thinks. It isn't making her happy. She doesn't know why she keeps coming back, even. She checks her email. Still no reply from Mr. Stood Her Up Last Night. She closes her browser and walks away from the computer. The phone in her hand vibrates. It's him, she thinks, and then chastises herself that the conversation won't be a happy one. It isn't him. Instead, it's a message from a man she saw for a while last year. Hello, lovely. How are you? She feels too tired to pretend. Not great, to be honest. Oh, what's up? Men. They just all seem to be a bit too much at the moment. His reply takes just long enough that she worries that he thinks she means him. Sorry, I'm fine, really. Anyway, how are you? I'm sorry to hear you're having man troubles. I'm very well, thanks. I wonder if you would do something for me. Her eyes narrow. She feels caught between competing emotions. She likes this man, really likes him. She isn't sure he really likes her, and she wishes he did. That is how things ended last year. She told him she wanted more of him, and he vanished. She felt foolish, like a cliche, and yet here he is now, wanting something from her. After the disappointments of the past few days, it would be good to actually do something. And he is very filthy. She smiles, remembering all the delicious, terrible things he did to her, before a pang of melancholy reminds her again of the end. But maybe this time it will be different, she thinks. This time she knows what he's like. She knows he can't be relied upon. Maybe this time she can use him as he is using her, for some fun and satisfaction, and neither of them will feel more than that. Maybe. What is it? I want you to make a video, just a short clip, a close-up of your cunt as you are pissing, and send it to me. It doesn't have to be long or show anything else. I'm going to use it to come to tonight. The effect is immediate. The heat from her face telling her that it is also bright scarlet. She'll tell him no, she thinks. The cheek of it, anyway, after leaving her so abruptly, to just reappear and ask for this. She walks to the bathroom as she composes her refusal in her head. It's just so embarrassing, she thinks. Why this? Of all the things he could have asked of her, why did he have to ask for something that grosses her out this much? She sits on the toilet and opens her legs. The phone camera takes a few moments to adjust to the light and the angle but she can see that it has a clear shot of her cunt. She frowns and puts the phone down on the side. She tries not to imagine that this time he might feel differently. That maybe he's come back to talk to her again because he actually does really like her, really wants her for more than casual filth. She sighs and picks up the phone. It's just so icky. It takes time for her to force her body to begin, and when she finally does, it's more of a trickle than a gush, but she supposes it will do. She sends it to him without reviewing it, and his expected reply, "Good girl," a few moments later is a much-needed balm on her bruised feelings toward men in general and him in particular. What she needs, she thinks, is someone who wants the same things as she does, for real, rather than as a fantasy or as a quick way to get off. Or maybe she needs to give the whole thing a rest and find a sweet vanilla man to be nice to her for a while. She laughs bitterly to herself, remembering her previous experiences with non-kinky men. The men themselves weren't the problem, of course. She knows she can't be what they want. On reflection, she thinks, maybe she should just be alone for a while. Hard to imagine what her life would be without the constant hope of finding someone, though. How would she pass her time? She doesn't know. She thinks back to today's messages. The one from the mistaken submissive man comes to mind. Bless him, she thinks. She receives messages similar to today's 3 or 4 times a week. She used to reply, attempting to explain to them that they had misunderstood her profile, that she absolutely isn't what they're looking for. But over time, she came to realise that for most of them, any attention at all from a woman feels like an opportunity. It must be hard, she thinks, to be so desperate. She decides she will take one final look to see if she has any promising messages and then switch off for the rest of the day. She might go for a walk in the sunshine or call a friend and chat about anything other than this or read or watch something. Really, she could do everything with her life instead of this, if she chose to. She doesn't have any new messages. She tries not to feel dejected. It has only been a couple of hours, she tells herself, and they wouldn't have been any good anyway. She clicks over to browse profiles, skimming quickly through those she's seen and discounted before. She stops when she reaches one with a picture of a wolf leaning over a girl in a red hood. It's a really good picture, she thinks. The profile text is sparse but clear. Dominant. Sadistic pervert. Come, entertain me. A thrill runs through her. She scrolls through his posts and pictures. They are all very thin girls, clearly in pain, crying or bleeding or bruised or all three. Hello, she types. Please, can I entertain you? She smiles to herself at being so forward, a little cheeky even. I don't know. Can you? She's a little taken aback at his bluntness. She supposes it is a fair question, though. She doesn't know the answer. The uncertainty makes her nervous, and she feels the telltale tingling in her cunt returning. Maybe. What do you like to see? Well, you've seen what I post. She pauses for a moment. Maybe this wasn't such a clever idea. Do you do those things for real? Yes. Would you do them to me if I asked you? That depends on how entertaining you are. She doesn't know what to say. She doesn't pause to consider if she wants the kinds of things in his pictures to be done to her. The lure of attention from the kind of man she imagines him to be is too great. She decides to recreate one of the pictures he's posted to show him how entertaining she can be. The picture she chooses shows a girl gagging on an enormous cock, with tears and mascara running down her cheeks, drool running from her lips. The girl looks utterly miserable. She hates to gag, but this is less scary than the alternatives. She carefully doesn't consider what that might mean. She takes the largest dildo she has out of its drawer. It really is very big. She collects her mascara and reapplies it in front of the mirror, much more thickly this time, in the hopes of it running dramatically. She thinks after a moment to check that it isn't waterproof and is relieved to find that it's not. She pauses briefly to frown at her body in the mirror. She's not as skinny as the girls in the pictures he posts. Returning to the desk, she sets up her phone to take a series of selfies and begins to force the dildo down her throat. It's hard and painful. Her eyes begin to water immediately. She glances at the camera to make sure that it's visible. She jams the dildo harder until she can see it bulge in her throat. She is drooling now, like the girl in the picture. One final thrust, and her eyes overflow with tears streaking mascara down her cheeks. She gives a hurt, mournful look at the camera, hoping that this is the picture she wants, before removing the dildo and putting it back on the desk. Scrolling through the pictures she's taken, she sees that most of them are useless. The last two or three might do, she thinks. She sighs. She can do better. She picks up the dildo and replaces the camera. She shoves the silicone cock deep into her throat, keeping it there through her gag reflex, and presses the button on her camera to begin taking more pictures. These are already better, she knows. After a few minutes, she returns to reviewing the pictures and is pleased to find two that look reasonably close to the original. She chooses the one that she thinks shows her in a slightly more attractive light and sends it to him. Very good. You are a desperate little slut, aren't you? She beams. This is what she's been hoping for all day. Yes, I really just want to be entertaining to you. You'd be more entertaining in person, even if you are a bit bigger than the girls I usually go for. She holds her breath. Is that a good idea, she thinks? She doesn't know this man after all, or rather, all she knows of him is what she's seen of his profile. He could be a psychopath, an actual non-consensual sadist. His casual comment about her size stings unexpectedly sharply. Yes, she types. I absolutely would. If you come, I will hurt you. You understand that, don't you? Yes, I understand, she types, appears far more assured than she feels. You won't have a fun time. I like to hurt little girls and make them cry. That's really the only thing that gets me hard. Then hurting them more until I come. I understand. I really just want to entertain you. Do you? Well, all right then. I'll send you my address. Dress in a way you think will please me. She wishes she had different clothes. She doesn't even know what, but different. Her little skirt and top will have to do. She brushes her hair and, after a moment's thought, her teeth. The address is back on the same side of town as the steps she waited on last night. She wonders idly if Mr. stood her up last night, has now replied to her email, but she doesn't stop to check. The journey passes in a blur of lust and nervous excitement. Finally, she stands apprehensively on the step for several moments, tugging at her skirt, checking her phone, tucking stray hairs behind her ears, doing anything except knock on the door. There's no bell, so she pushes the letterbox and it snaps closed with a loud crash. She jumps a little. Nothing happens. She feels relief and disappointment flood over her. She tried, she tells herself. She really did. She thinks back to waiting on the steps last night. Maybe this is how things will always go, she considers. Maybe this is for the best. She hears a sound from behind the door, and the shape of a tall man fills the glass inset.